This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. An Alabama woman has been located after she was the focus of a two-day search near Birmingham.
Hoover, Alabama police now say she returned to her parents' home late Saturday night, was checked by fire medics, and then was taken to a local hospital for evaluation.
CBS's Tom Foti reports the woman had called police and her family to report a toddler walking unattended along the highway. Police later found the woman's car on the side of the road with another car parked in front of it. Police in Hampton, Georgia are looking for the gunman who killed at least four people in the same neighborhood yesterday morning. WANF-TV reporter Tori Cooper has details.
Family friends of two of the victims, who they say were a couple, tell us that the victims had no relationship to the suspect and they hope he turns himself in.
The suspect is identified as Andre Longmore. He's described as armed and dangerous. The Henry County Sheriff's Office is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to his arrest. Pennsylvania State Police say an escaped inmate has been found. KDKA-TV's Erica Stanish has that story.
Pennsylvania authorities say they've caught escaped inmate Michael Burham, ending a manhunt that lasted over a week. Investigators say he was caught after a person in Warren County saw him on their property. Now, police say the investigation will continue to determine if he was receiving any help from another person during or after the escape. They were afraid he was armed, but say he did not have a weapon when he was caught.
Police say Burham used bedsheets to escape. Record-setting heat is broiling parts of the West and Southwest. Where's the hottest place on Earth? Well, it just might be Death Valley, says Park Ranger Mark Lamar.
For over 100 years, we didn't hit it. And then in 2020, we got 130. In 2021, we got 130. And then we might hit it again this weekend.
Why such extreme heat? Climate change expert Michael Mann says planet Earth is sending out a wake-up call.
We're seeing unprecedented heat waves and wildfires and floods and superstorms. We wouldn't be seeing these unprecedented events if it were not for the fact that we're warming up the planet, driving these extreme weather events.
Climate envoy John Kerry is in Beijing for talks with top officials to discuss climate change. Single-person American households have hit a record high.
Many people worldwide are living alone, including 30% of Americans, a record high. Some reasons why.
As people live longer, periods of widowhood tend to last longer. People are delaying marriage longer.
University of Arizona professor Chris Segrin cautions, though, to stay engaged.
Many people manage to live alone, but still have rewarding social relations with other people, social networks.
CBS's Stephen Kaufman. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Members of Congress are talking again about cutting safety net programs like Social Security and Medicare. Mike Moen has reaction from Wisconsin.
In the past, Social Security has been targeted by GOP lawmakers who argue reforms are needed to keep it solvent. Now, the House Republican Study Committee proposes changes such as raising the retirement age and reducing benefits for above-average earners. Jim Poplosky, a retiree from Racine, says he worked a lot of overtime in his career to have a big enough monthly payment from Social Security. He worries about cuts creating harm for those who paid into the system like him.
We'd put a lot of senior citizens in poverty if they had less Social Security or worse Medicare or prescription coverage.
Four members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation sit on the Republican Study Committee, including Brian Stile, who represents Poplosky's district. He urges his congressmen and other House Republicans to oppose the plan. The panel's report says the ideas are only modest adjustments. Nancy Altman of the group Social Security Works says the blueprint would be swept up in House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's desire for a bipartisan commission on spending reductions. Down the road, she says it could fast-track cuts during 11th-hour budget negotiations without much debate.
The recommendations would have to come up in the House and Senate. You could not amend it. So it really lends itself for members saying, hey, I didn't like that, but I had to do something. I had to vote up or down.
She feels that approach gives Republicans too much cover in forcing proposed cuts that aren't popular in most public polls. Altman's group backs various Democratic proposals to raise taxes on the wealthy to address future Social Security shortfalls. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
This is Bust. It's fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Last week, Johnny, July 4th. You know, we played one of our special edition shows, let people out there celebrate the fireworks. We know every Tuesday night, though, there are fireworks here on the show. The number, if you want to jump in before we even introduce our topic and our guest tonight, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We have done a lot of work on student loans, but man, we have covered the amount of topics, Johnny, that we have done here on Busted Pencils. People always like, it's an education show. Like, what can you guys possibly be talking about all the time? And it's just like, wait a minute, really? Do you not understand the reality of the centrality of public schooling in America? You know, private schooling, right? The whole idea of going to school and recognizing how many intersections there are with everything that goes on in the world. And so here we are back again. We have, you know, we've had him on before. Ask Ethan Siegel, our favorite astrophysicist, is joining us tonight. Welcome, Ethan. How are you doing, for my friend?
Oh, hi, Tim. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me on the show again. And, you know, even though I normally am super excited to talk astrophysics, I'm so happy to also get a chance to talk education because, you know, what you folks are doing for, you know, high as you want to go,
right?
Education, everyone needs one. You know, I think that should never stop. That's a lifelong thing. You know, as long as you're alive and your brain is working, you too can learn new things and assimilate new knowledge and do better tomorrow than you did today.
Speaking of that, I love that though. New, and Johnny, you know, let's, you know, jump right into it. So ask Ethan. You could check it out at bigthink.com, starts with a bang. Ask Ethan, he has it out there. And like you said, most of the time it's astrophysics, you know, black holes, string theory. When will Tim Slecker ever get to generate his four-course meal by just telling the computer to do so? Questions like that. But we got one, though, you know, kind of coming in here, the reality that we're all dealing with. And here, you know, classroom teachers, families, students, the issue of gender. You know, we've had a sweeping, you know, let's be honest, we'll call it what we'd say here, a regression backwards, particularly on the attack on public schools. And, you know, as we say in Florida, the don't say gay ban, all of these laws, literally laws restricting somehow people to talk about what appears to be cast largely as somebody's personal belief. And here we are with gender, and he's an astrophysicist, but he's a scientist. Ethan, you put out a piece a few weeks ago, What is a Woman? What was the motivation for you, an astrophysicist, to take on the question, What is a Woman? And publicly put forth, here's the best answer or answers and ways to think about this. What made you jump to the challenge?
You know, I think we all have to look at ourselves. That enough way that you would be able to successfully share that answer with everyone else out there. And look, I'm a lot like you guys. Yeah, my field of expertise where I know a whole lot, but each field limit to what I know. And if I want to talk about something that's beyond my area of expertise, I need to know the full story, who's going to put it into the proper scientific context. And I've done this before for a variety of this with issues in geology and geophysics. I've done this with issues in dictionary and teen recently. I think the world needs people who go out, inform from the top experts in the field, synthesize that together, and present that to people, you know. And I'm an astrophysicist, but for the past 15 years, and yeah, it really is that long, 15 years, I've been doing Starts with a Bang, which is just me communicating science to the general public in whatever means necessary, written word, video, and in this case, radio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. This is a question that a lot of people have very strong opinions about. But what I want to make sure is that everyone can at least, even if we don't agree on the same opinions, everyone can come together and say, we all agree on what is true. And that's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to put a piece out there that regardless of what you believe about any color in the LGBTQ+ rainbow, whatever you think about that, I don't want you to be able to disagree with anything in this. I want to give you a fact-based, what is true thing that's for everyone.
Well, you so think helpful. About that. Yeah, right, Johnny, jump in there.
Well, just want to thank you, Ethan, for Starts with a Bang, but also for coming on the show when you do, because we talk a lot about the importance of scientific literacy to democracy, and just what you shared, like how we can turn to scientific consensus. And you gave us a really nice foundation and a great starting point for having difficult conversations with colleagues or with, you know, other teachers or families out in the community when we were talking to you during COVID-19 and we talked about the danger of the false equivalencies, right? And so scientific consensus is really important for our listeners. This is something that Ethan brings, you know, not only to our show, but to the general public, getting that information that, you know, doesn't belong to a political party, but that in general is to the public, and it's based on expert consensus, right? And so that's really great. And I couldn't be more grateful for this topic tonight, because like Ethan said, we all have our limits to what we know, right? And a lot of times our personal experiences, and even when we've broadened those personal experiences, it's still limited. And especially when it's come to this topic and there are, you know, people all around us under attack and not able to be who they are. And that's not something that any of our politics on the show and a lot of educators sign up to, make anybody's lives harder in a way that they shouldn't be. We'll challenge you to learn and challenge you to open up to new ideas, but not to be someone you're not. Yeah. And so gender has been a really important on the front conversation in a lot of schools and a lot of families' homes. And so this piece tonight in our conversation is really exciting because, like Ethan said, it helps give us some language from the scientific community around how we might better understand gender.
Well, you think about that, right? I mean, Ethan, you know, It's the point, you know, the way you talk about it, it's like we have opinions, even the word, you know, I'm sorry, but that's just my belief. And you're like, okay, we get it. It's just your belief. And on this issue of, quote, gender, I think what I see a lot when I read through this piece on, you know, thebigthink.com starts with the bang, check this out, what is a woman, is that, okay, for all of the beliefs and what I feel and what are my opinions, Ethan, you go right to the science and say, okay, here's the deal with gender, and here's what science has to say. Give us the quickest overview, because I know we're going to be coming up on that first commercial. What does science say about,
you know, things to say about gender? Because you would think, oh, it's very simple. Human beings have two genders, and you're either male or female, and that's the science of gender, right? A lot of people think that. But if you say to someone like, how do you know what's a male and how do you know what's a female? You're all of a sudden going to get a lot of different answers, right? Someone might talk about whether you have a penis or vagina. Someone might talk about whether your chromosomal makeup is XX or XY. Someone may talk about what types of gonads you have. Do you have testes or do you have ovaries? Some people might talk about what kind of gametes you have. Do you have sperm cells or do you have egg cells? It turns out that those questions that I just asked, first off, they're only examples of what biologists call primary sex characteristics, right? All organisms have primary and secondary sex characteristics. Primary are the ones that affect reproduction. Secondary are more appearance-focused ones in general. But all of those questions that I asked, are you this or are you this? It turns out that in science, there are more than two answers to these. This is not what we call a binary distribution where everyone is male in some way and everyone is female in some way. Most people are male in this particular way or female in this particular way. But there is a middle area where people don't cleanly fall into male or female categories. And this is true in every aspect of the spectrum. And so that's the starting point, is there is not a clear, everyone is either male or female. Plenty of people have plenty of traits that are somewhere not in traditionally male or traditionally female. And that's natural. That's completely natural.
And I remember, this is one of the things too, right? I remember science class. I even remember talking about the XY, XX chromosome. And then anything you point this out, that there are some people with XXY. And
there are some people with XXY. There are some people who have XY who are women, who develop as women, and there are some people who are XX who are male. There are some people who are XXYY. There are some people who are X nothing.
Whoa.
There are some people who have X alone, one X chromosome, and that's it. There's a lot of natural variety, even if you just look at like your old, like, oh, well, my mom had XX and my dad had XY and they made me. You might not be either XX or XY. And if you're XX, you might not be a female. And if you're XY, you might not be a male.
Well, I know this. Whatever you are listening out there, if you're XX, XY, XO, or X nothing, 844-967-2789. When we get back, though, Ethan, let's really dig deep into this, though, and start talking. There's biology, there's science, and then we also have society. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across across the state and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Baugh.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, talking to an educated astrophysicist who's helping educate us about the science of gender. Before we get back with Ethan Siegel, we have a caller, Mark from the SAC. Mark, you're on the line. Mark, what's happening out there, my friend?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting hearing him talk. I'm a child of the 60s moving into the 70s And, of course, in the 60s, we had the space race going on, and Kennedy talked a lot about, you know, the, getting scientists up and running and getting people interested in science, you know, as national policy as part of the space race. As a matter of fact, it was another article that I was interested in from this 1965 edition, January 26, 1965, of Look magazine. It actually had some articles on both the threat radical right, but also their assaults on education, radical right's assault on education. But there's also another article in there on that education begins at 3. And let's remember, this is 1965, and they were talking about the Montessori system where they're getting these kids as young as 3 interested in starting education. I mean, that my education started with my mother reading to me a little golden book of dinosaurs. I mean, that I drifted far away from that, becoming an accountant for my career, but I mean that... Maybe what needs to happen is it has to become national policy in this country, coming from the government, to get the youth of today and the public in general interested in science again.
Mark, on this, I love that topic. In fact, maybe we can bring that, you know, into its own show, the whole idea of getting education moving and talking about the importance of science again. On this topic, though, when we're listening to Ethan, he talked about the fact that gender is again not a one size fits all. Over here are all men, over here are all women. It's a bimodal distribution. Do you have any thoughts about that? If that is science fact, as Ethan's talking about, what is an obligation of a teacher then in talking about this when you're possibly in a place like Florida where this might be considered some of that information that we don't want to teach kids? And I just wonder if you had any thoughts, you know, directly on this issue of gender.
Basic biology, we all started as females in the womb. And at one point, the hormones start to kick in and we develop either into male or female. But in some cases, there's a blend of each in people that... And it's nothing exact sometimes, and it just other cultures in the past have accepted that. But for some reason that here in supposedly the enlightened West, we can't wrap our minds around that kind of concept. Apparently in some of the Native American cultures, that people that were different, in that, quote-unquote different in that way, were fully accepted as part of society and were not condemned. And in fact, they were found as valuable components of that society. So I don't know how we can convince people that with the animosity towards science is kind of beyond me. But let's remember that in the Soviet Union, unless your science conformed with Soviet socialist thought, that your science wasn't allowed to be pursued.
Well, it feels like we're moving, God forbid, in that direction. As you said, Ethan, though, the two Americans. Mark, thanks for the call. Mark from the SAC. If you want to jump in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Okay, Ethan, there it is. It's right in front of us from Mark, and you put it up there to remind us Native Americans saw this in between phase, I guess we would say, but there's a scientific way, but that was a two-spirit concept. What's happening there?
Well, I mean, that was the Native American conception of someone who was either intersex or transgender, who wasn't, you know, I am male and I look male and I female and feel male. Sorry, slip in there. I feel male and I look like one, I feel like one, I behave like one, and that's what my internal identity tells me that I am. Or the same things for female that you have. Yeah, that's most people. Most people are. Same thing from a modern scientific perspective. I have all male primary sex characteristics. I have all male secondary sex characteristic, and I feel male in my body. And, you know, that's it. What I think we all have to keep in mind, again, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, is that not everybody is like we are. In every way. So the thing that I always look for is who's going to need protection. And it's going to be, well, if most people are either all the way this way or all the way the other way, it's the people in the middle who are going to need protection, because they're easy to marginalize. They're easy to forget about. And for me, you know, it was very eye-opening to me because, you know, when you're young, you don't have a concept how things are supposed to be. And I remember learning when I was young that some small percentage of people, I think it's somewhere between like 0.05% and 0.08% of all people are born with what they call ambiguous genitalia, where it doesn't clearly look like a penis or it doesn't clearly look like a vagina. Throughout most of the 20th century, when I was young, when you were young, about this time in America, doctors would just assign a gender to the child. They would just pick one and say, well, either I can make a penis out of this, so we're going to make it a male, or I'm going to make a vagina out of it and we'll make it a female. The thing is, when you do that to someone, if you don't guess right, you've assigned a person to the wrong gender, and then they experience what's known as gender dysphoria, which is this huge feeling of discomfort you have of being in your own skin as the gender that your body is. This is something that we've learned has been with people forever. People have had gender dysphoria forever. What do you do about it? The answer is you can't keep them in the wrong body.
We're gonna answer that question when we get back from the break. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The woman who went missing near I-459 in Alabama has been found. WIAT-TV's Jen Cardone has details.
She was reported missing late Thursday night after police say she stopped on Interstate 459 to help a toddler beside the road.
Police in Georgia are looking for the gunman who they say killed at least four people in the same neighborhood. WANF-TV reporter Tori Cooper has details.
A statewide manhunt is underway for 41-year-old Andre Longmore, who police say went on a deadly shooting rampage around 10:45 Saturday morning.
We've been seeing record-breaking heat in parts of the country in recent days. Climate change expert Michael Mann says this will continue unless we do something about it.
If we continue to burn fossil fuels and increase the amount of carbon pollution in the atmosphere, then all of this will get worse. We'll see more frequent and more intense and more damaging extreme weather events.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
93.5, The Tap.
Dirt goat, killer, liar. They criminal with protection of the law. Go!
Oh, that's what we're doing. We are going all the time. Tuesday nights, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. We are talking. Our favorite astrophysicist, Ethan Siegel. Check it out, bigthink.com. Look at this gender dysphoria we were talking about. But we do have one call, another caller on the line, Susan. Susan, you are on the line. Thanks for holding over the break. Susan, what do you got for Ethan?
Oh, I was just thanking you for this conversation, because I think today people are in such a black and white situation. They don't think about the gray areas, which doesn't allow people to have any free thought. So I think a lot of times everybody gets ingrained in it's either this or that, and there's no in between. And that happens in religions and everything else. It's just really difficult for people to think outside of their nine dots that they live in. And so I really appreciate this conversation, because that's been my thought for a long time, is that there's so much we don't know, and how can we demand that somebody be one way when they don't want to be that way? I mean, that's just my general thought. Anyway, that was all I had. But I appreciate
Susan, thank you. And we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. Ethan, you know, there's Susan's point, and we were talking about this during break, the idea of like somebody's brain consciousness, what it thinks. But we've largely been talking about the science here. The fact that even scientifically, gender isn't, as you said, this kind of it's this or it's that. Science says there's some in-betweening. In fact, you talked about frequency in the first part, and I know, Johnny, you were saying, Ethan, tell us a little bit about, though, this idea. Like, what are you talking about when you say frequency in the science?
You know, when you talk about it, you assume like, oh, like 50% of humans are male and 50% of humans are female in this traditional, like, my primary and secondary sex characteristics and my own internal sense of who I am is either male or female. That's what we think happens. And then you ask, like, well, look, there are all sorts of those in-between conditions, what they classify as intersex conditions. And if you add all of those intersex conditions up, yeah, a bunch of them are super rare, like 1 in 80,000, 1 in 20,000, but some of them are pretty common. And the most common one is what's called, it's called congenital adrenal hyperplasia. That is an intersex condition that starts to appear after puberty, like when puberty starts and after. And it's estimated that at least 0.5% or 1 in 200 people have that or another intersex condition. And that number may be as high. A 2015 study says we actually found that's 1.7%, which is 1 in 66 people. So somewhere between 1 in 200 and 1 in 66 Americans, which even if you take the low end, the 1 in 200, it means over 1.5 million Americans have some sort of intersex condition. So let's not pretend that this is nobody, that this isn't going to affect anyone we know or love or care about. These conditions are real and they're ubiquitous. And it's not just in America, and it's not just now. They've always been here. It's like one of the things I think is I'm and none of my grandparents were left-handed. Why is that? Well, could it be because, yeah, I was left-handed and my dad is left-handed and my dad's mom was handed, but in school they hit her with a ruler on her hand over and over until she started using her right hand. And oh, would that make sense? Why, when I remember being a kid with her in the kitchen, she always cut herself on her fingers really frequently because she was made to live right-handed, even though she was left-handed. I think like that about intersex and trans people is, hey, we don't have to say you can't be who you are or you can't be how you are, right? I think about my grandmother and God, how much better would her life have been if she could have just been a left-handed person? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's very different when it comes to intersex and transgender people.
Well, you think about that though too, and this is, you know, where you really hit it in the piece that you put out there. Bigthink.com starts with a bang. What is a woman? Ethan Siegel. Is though then the reality though too of what you just said, acceptance, non-acceptance of gender,
What happens to you if you're not accepted? That's right. And the answer is, as you could expect, a lot of people who are rejected by their parents for any reason, a lot of people find themselves homeless, find themselves wishing they'd be better off dead, or even, worst case scenario, attempts to commit suicide. And for this is the whole thing that I did. I pulled out the stats on this and I researched them as best as I could. And what I found is that if you are a transgender individual or a non-binary individual or an intersex individual, if you are in this group, you are at suicide risk rate of all marginalized groups. Suicidal ideation is over 80%. The number, the frequency of people who aren't accepted by their parents who are transgender, non-binary, or intersex, 43 to 45% of them attempt suicide. Mm. You want to lower that number? You want fewer kids trying to kill themselves? Give them at least one parent that loves and supports them and recognizes that the way they say they are is who they are. You make that change, the suicide rate goes from 43 to 45% down to 4%, which is over a tenfold improvement. So if you're a parent of a transgender kid or an intersex kid or a non-binary kid, and you want your kid to live, you can love and support them instead of telling them how they should be. I think that's such a powerful statistic. I don't know how to interpret that any other way.
You know, it made me think, though, back now, bring this back to, you know, busted pencils, you know, educators talking education. You know, the fact that we're outlawing, because now imagine the kid who doesn't have those parents. We were moving in a direction where they had that teacher who could have that safe space to say, I see you. I recognize who you are. You're safe in this space, in this school setting. You can be who you are in this school setting. Except now, it's in Florida, it's in Ohio, wherever you are. No, as teachers, if you engage in that accepting of a trans, intersex, LGBTQ student, you're now violating the law by accepting and expressing a sense of human condition connectedness. The fact that we're outlawing this, Ethan, this is where I start looking at this. This is why this is a school issue, because yes, we want that parent. And please listen to what Ethan said. If you're a parent out there and you're thinking about this, the ability for you to have an incredible impact, just love and accept your child who they are. But the reality that we've policed our public school teachers into not being a place where kids can go and be who they are. I wonder if you had any thoughts about that.
Well, I mean, look, I was a teacher in public school once upon a time, and I am exactly the kind of teacher that Ron DeSantis is warning you about, because, you know, I know what the laws are. And I also know for myself what right and wrong is. And if it comes down to taking a choice between, am I going to do the right thing or am I going to obey the law? I'm probably going to do the right thing. So, you know, I'm not the kind of person who stayed in public education for a very long time, because when that's the choice, either do the right thing by your students or obey the law and do the wrong thing by your students, like you can't in good conscience do that. And I think that's part of what the game is. The game is, let's drive out the teachers, or give us an excuse to the teachers who are going to do this thing that I politically disagree with. Like that's the obvious game here, is you make the profession such a way that the people who would educate your students and give them all the information and let them read the banned books, you know, it's the same game it's always been, is I want, like, there's always some politician who wants to take away your ability to see anyone who isn't like you.
Mm-hmm. Johnny, Come on, man.
I mean, I'm so grateful for us having this conversation, but also, you know, we've talked about Florida, to know that there are teachers like Ethan just described in Florida, right, who are saying they're going to do the right thing, right? And that's true for teachers everywhere to hear that and to think about the statistics that Ethan shared around how important it is in life-changing it is for a young person, really any aged person, right, to have, you know, a loving parent, loving and accepting parent in their life. And to think about how important and how great our schools can be and our communities to have that kind of support around our students who experience, you know, that they don't fit into two categories. This is by and large not a couple of students. Ethan made this clear, right? He's bringing to us the facts, and you know, we can sort of politicize them a little more. But this is, you know, this is significant enough that if we care about communities, we care about young people and the future of our democracy, right, that we really take in information, apply it, and do better tomorrow. And this is an area of growth I think everyone out there teaching, for the most part, is learning and growing with. It's a no-brainer, right? We have the evidence. We know what we need to do, and it's people who don't identify as either male or female or wherever they are on that, right? We have evidence. This is very real, changing to be accepted for who you are. And so, you know, this really helps us just kind of springboard to have those conversations to, you know, really make sure this is what every school is able to provide.
Hmm. Ethan, I think it's also important to remind people that, that parental love and support is key. Like it's really abhorrent that a kid would have to do without that for any reason. But also keep in mind that it doesn't solve everything, right? There are still going to be people, even if we said like, hey, we're going to make it so that everyone can learn this is what sex and gender are, and you can be whatever sex or gender you want, that won't fix everybody. There are some people who will transition who will still feel that discomfort of gender dysphoria, that they may not get what gender they are right on the first try, and that's okay. And also there are some people whose gender identity, just like there are people who, in terms of who they're attracted to, which gender or genders they're attracted to, can change over their life, there's evidence that someone's gender identity may not be stable over their whole life too. So, you know, I think the best thing we can do is to not pathologize this, is to not say you're abnormal, there's something wrong with you. There's no evidence for that. There's no evidence that there's anything wrong for you. You're just different than most people, and that's not bad.
But that's the point right there. And you said that. And say, you know what? Yeah, you're not. And in fact, the whole idea, and when we got into the, you know, the critiques of it, is like, I know if I'm a man and I know if that's a woman and that's just the way it is. It's like, no, sorry, it's not just the way it is. It's not even close. The world isn't
What if I'm righting you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out
we coming back?
Come back.
Dusty Pencils, fully led education talk. We are back. A little bit of, you know, radio complications there. Johnny and Tim, Ethan's still kind of hanging out. Ethan, we got you here for the last little segment. We were pitching thelittlestgirl.com. This is your new children's book.
Oh, my. Yeah. Thank you for still having me here. You know, I wrote my first children's book with a particle physicist friend of mine. She said to me, hey, I'm a mom. I have little kids. There are all these books out there about space, and there are all these children's books about dinosaurs. And we even heard Mark call in and say, what about space dinosaurs? Right. Yeah. But what about the very small? And I was like, you know, let's write one. And so we went and we put a story together and we told it in children's book format. We got a beautiful illustrator who made these gorgeous illustrations. The book is called The Littlest Girl Goes Inside an Atom. And it's about a journey from human scales down into the subatomic for all readers. We even, at the back of the book, we put a grown-up section that if you're the parent of a curious child who keeps asking, but why and why and why, yes, we've got some bonus answers in there for you.
Well, there it is. There, you got your, we definitely got that for you.
Yeah, there, that's Ethan important. Siegel. That's good.
Yeah, that's always- it. But back to the, you know, Ethan, I'll let you go. Again, check out his blog, bigthink.com. Starts with the bang, what is a woman? Ethan Siegel, thank you so much for joining Busted Pencils. And we will talk to you again shortly, my friend. Thanks, Ethan.
My pleasure.
Good night. So, that's Johnny, great, here we are. Right. We, you know, end of the show here. And, you know, it's science talking about this. How? When I moved that into the space where I was saying, okay, let's get back into the fact that criminalizing teachers' advocacy for being a safe space, like that to me is where I really felt like, man, this is the kind of pain that so many teachers are talking about. We talk about the teachers leaving, teacher exodus, right? The fact that we're criminalizing the behavior of protecting marginalized people. This is where I was just like, come on, this is where the science is here that Ethan was talking about. But the reality is we're criminalizing protecting people.
Yeah.
What gives there, man?
Well, Tim, you know what I'm reminded of, and this is really important, and Ethan brought it up, and it's something I think we forget to remind one another of, is that we have great capacity to learn things. And when we learn things, we have an even bigger responsibility with what we learn to do, I don't know if we want to call it the right thing, or mm-hmm. to do better by the next day. And this is one of those no-brainers where we're all learning more, and it means that the way we've been doing things has been pretty awful to a pretty significant number of people, and to me and you, Tim, and to probably Ethan and others listening, it wouldn't matter if it was only a couple people, because that's how our ethics kind of works, right? Really, we kind of land on the side of justice and feel like human rights matter for everyone, right? But this is really bigger than that. And what it reminds us is that we socially constructed some ways of organizing our communities, our schools, our families, our identities, how we even as individuals experience joy and pleasure and our lives. We've socially constructed them in ways that have hurt people and are hurting people. And as we learn more, we can learn to do better, and we can organize and sort of create spaces within our society where we can accept that maybe we don't always identify in the same gender, or maybe it's fluid as we go through different moments in our lives. Maybe it's not this male, female. Maybe even, Tim, as sort of folks with a degree, an area of study, I was so grateful to take amazing courses in gender studies, you know, as a college student. And it opened my eyes to really thinking differently about sex and gender. And with information today, even that has grown.
Mm-hmm.
As we had learned, like, sex is biological and gender is socially constructed. And what we're learning with scientific information is that even that is oversimplified, right? Is that yeah. there's some...
I gotta say, I have a bunch of different scientists that I respect, like, what determines male and female? And yeah. someone said, universally, it's the size of your gametes. If you have big gametes, like, you're a female, and if you have little gametes, like, male, and that's how you classify everybody. And not everyone picks, I mean, most people don't pick one thing. They say, oh, no, it's all of these things together. There's a range of primary sex characteristics and then the less important secondary ones. But, you know, we talk about how women look mannish or men look effeminate all the time because mm-hmm. we know you're not 100% one way or the other way. Why are you making people be a thing they're not?
Exactly. And that's Ethan Siegel. He is back.
He didn't go anywhere. We love having him.
He can travel. He warp speeds and he's back in there. Ethan, we actually appreciate it.
I was prepared to be a captive until the hour.
Ethan stayed on with us there as we're coming in the last 2 minutes, and Johnny, bringing that home and Ethan putting it that way. You say, you know, busted pencils. We try every week to, you know, push this idea, and I'll put it out there again. So this conversation, we say it always with Busted Pencils, it's for my neighbor, it's for the person down the street, it's for somebody to say, you know what, I didn't know that, and boy, now that I know, and maybe I don't even know what I really know at this moment, but just hearing the conversation between Ethan, Tim, and Johnny, and Mark from the SAC, and Susan, the callers coming in, hearing that conversation, I'm leaving here tonight with a sense of going, I'm not so sure I know what I know anymore. That's super okay, because that's where that moment comes in to say, you know what? Sometimes the absolutely being sure you think you know, it causes a lot of pain and a lot of trauma to a lot of people. And sometimes most of us don't want to cause our fellow human beings pain and suffering. We're not into that. And so we're talking about that. And for you, those teachers, those of you down there or over there or up there in the places where they're trying to criminalize your behavior of advocating and protecting marginalized students in your classroom, keep doing that right thing though, man. You got it. You're out there. You got into this profession. You are a caring, wonderful, loving person. Express that love. Continue to give it to your students. Give that space. Do everything you can, lifting people up, because you got into teaching to make a difference, to change the world, to make it better. You can do it, and people cannot criminalize that. More Busted Pencils when we get back.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.